Okay. I got some feedback in the break that the microphone I was using gave some high pitch noise. I'm trying the other one. If it's better, then I hope it is. Otherwise, I'll need to talk to IT, AV, see if they can replace the microphones. Okay, so I guess you've all, in the programming courses in the first year, programmed your own file system application. So you store data on the file, and you read data from the file. So that was before the database systems. That was the traditional way to deal with data, because databases is about storing data that you can use for later, persistently stored. And in a typical file-based system, which we can say is a deprecated approach, it happens still sometimes, but it's not the most used approach if you like to store data. Then, in this case, you have a company with two departments. The sales department will have their programs where they will look at or entering data about customers. So you can say see the sale files being properties for rent, who are the owners of these properties, and what are the clients that are will be interested in renting. That's what you need to know if you are in the sales. Now, if you are in the contract department, you need some of that information, but you also need to deal with the contracts. You need to know who is leasing what property, and and in some cases you need some additional information about the, or you need less information maybe here. You see property for rent in the contact. You don't need to know the type and the rooms, because someone is already renting, so they know what type of property it is. They know how many rooms because they're renting it. So you don't need to know that in the contracts department. You just need to know what is the property you are dealing with. So you have the contract files stored on a computer that is available to those working in the contracts department, and you have sales files. And you need, in your program, quite a lot of the code was dealing with how to open the file, how to seek or search the content in the file, how to read from the file into memory and make it into data that you could handle in your program, and vice versa. When you enter something, quite a lot of the code was in storing this. And that is the trivial case, because you have just one user and the data for a small trivial case. Now, think if there are thousands of parallel users, and think there will be gigabytes of data, so you can't just go through the whole file every time, and you need to be able to quicken the searching, because the clients are expecting results now, not in 2 days. Then the file handling functionality here becomes much more critical. And what here, how do we share data between these two? I mean, the contracts need to get information from sales. When a new property comes in, then you need to register it in contracts as well. But they have different file formats and different file handling routines. So there's quite a lot of work overhead just making sure that many users can get access to the data at the same time. So some of the problems, we have data dependence, meaning that you need to know the file format to create an application. That makes programs large and complex. And duplication of data. So you need to store information about properties in the sales department and the same property in the contracts department. Now, in these days, storage space isn't very expensive. So we could possibly afford storing information about houses twice. Now, the real problem here, and the thing that we database people really worried about, is the consistency. If you have the same property in two places, and street names are being changed, let's say that this property is on a street, and the street is going to have a new name. Would you guess what the chances are that it's going to be changed in one of the systems, not in the other one? So all of a sudden, so if you go to the sales department, you're going to know that this apartment is in this street, and if you go to the other, to the contracts department, you find that the same building is in a different street, because only one of them was correctly updated. So in a database system, one of the most important functionalities, features we would like is to make sure that data is consistent. I was working with a guy who was doing his military service, and he was saying that in the military database systems, you need to be, if one of the soldiers had died, it needed to be registered in 4 different places to make sure that no one sent a letter to that person, because information about that person was in 4 different systems. So if one died and or anyone wanted to be removed from the system, if they forgot to remove him from one of these places, then all of a sudden he could get a letter in the mail, even though he's been dead for many years. So consistency is our main problem, and that's where we like to make sure that things are stored just one place and managed by a database system. And we would like to avoid that data is separated and isolated, because I mean, if the sales department and the contract department has very isolated systems, how can you get a total view? How can you make sure that you get access to the data? How can you make reports that get data from both systems? And there is a risk that the file formats are incompatible. In old days, we're going to struggle a little bit with MariaDB, MySQL as well, when it comes to text encoding. We're still struggling with, is it going to be ASCII, or is it going to be ISO Latin, or is it going to be UTF? So we still have a little bit of that, how would characters be encoded? And it doesn't matter if your name doesn't contain any of the Norwegian or any of the special characters. If you have names with A to Z only, that's fine. But if you start having names with some other characters, all of a sudden, if you send data from one system to the other, all of a sudden your name looks different. You've probably seen some older systems, at least, where all of a sudden you see strange characters popping up. Another problem is that in these two cases, if you go back, or these two departments, if you go back here, so data entry and reports, these were predefined. What were the reports? What were the forms for entering data? Were predefined. And it would go to the file system and get it up. If you would like to make another report, if you wanted to combine data differently, you would basically have to program. Maybe you could use the file handling routines. Maybe you need some new ones. And then you will have to write the new code that will combine data differently. So it's hard to reuse data for new applications. They will basically have to see the world the way the initial applications were. What we would like to do in the database is to store the data representation in such a way that the application can figure out how data is being stored. And seriously, in these cases, is if you don't have support for multiple users. So we talk, some of you already mentioned security being important in the database system. Yeah, absolutely. Making sure that only those users who could actually manipulate leased data could get access to it. In the database system, we will often be able to say what users have access to what operations. So it's not just that if you have the file, you can do everything. No, maybe if you have access to data, you can just read it. Or maybe you are allowed to modify it, but you can't delete it. So we have many levels of security or restrictions on operations. Recovery, what if this crashes? Can we make sure, are we sure that they have backups? What if an operation fails in the middle? If we were about to modify a lot of data, and in the middle of that operation it crashed. So some data have been modified, some have not been modified. How are we going to deal with that? And do we have support for multiple users modifying the data at the same time in a consistent way? So these are some of the problems. And if you have, like Amazon, they have the obvious need for many users at the same time. They have needs for analyzing their shopping patterns. They have needs for exchanging data with different systems. So there's no way they could just store this in flat files. That's where the database comes in. So from today's lecture, the most important thing to remember or to understand is, what is the definition of a database? A database is a shared collection of logically related data. So it's not just a set of data, they need to be related. So when I have a when I have a database for, let's say, my climbing trips, that's a database. It has data about my climbing trips. It doesn't count anything about my my reading habits or anything else. That's a different database, or my CV. That could be a different database. So typically, database is stores logically related data, and it's shared. That's the whole purpose of a database, is that the data can be shared among applications and among users. What is an extra here is that, in addition to the data, a database will always also contain associated metadata. It's often called the system catalog. So the system catalog is a database in its own right that knows what are the tables, that knows what are the columns in the tables, that knows who has access to these tables. So it's a database that the database system uses to manage itself. That's the good thing, because now with the system catalog, an application can figure out how data is being structured. If I find your data file from last year, I might have, just looking at the file, I might have a hard time understanding what's in there. But with the database, I can go to the system catalog and I can query a question. What is metadata? Yes, I can explain an answer, I didn't do that. Metadata is data about data. So meta means at a higher level. So metadata is data about data. So in the database, we have the data, which is what the user provides. The user enters, like if I had a database for all my climbing trips would be the data. I would say, okay, in August, I was in Romsdal and I climbed this peak with this person for 2 days. I had to sleep at night. It was late. It was nice sunset and sunrise later, immediately after. But anyway, so that's the data. What is the metadata? The metadata would describe my database, saying, okay, it has a table for climbing areas. It has a table for the grading system. And it has a table that combines these two. So it describes what are the tables, what are the various columns in the tables, what are the data types, and it describes who is the creator of this database and who has access to this database. So it's data that the database management system is using for its own services. It's not something that I add to the system. It's something that the database system adds. We're going to work a bit more about with this in a while. And the reason is very much about the sharing. Shared collection. That's why we have the database systems. Because previously, the data definition was embedded in the replication program. So when we found the file and we wanted data, it was hard to figure out how is the data represented. And this is where metadata comes in. So the system catalog says, okay, this database has these tables, and this table has these columns, so we can just go to the catalog and figure out what's in the database. Here, in the old time, we found a file and we had no clue if we didn't have the programmer or the program that would access it. Or we could guess, I guess, in some cases, but we couldn't necessarily be sure. And there were no good access and permission mechanisms. So if you had the file, you could do anything with it. In the database, we would like to say, okay, now, you know what? It's okay that you get to see what's in the catalog, but you shouldn't be able to add new things to the catalog. And to some users, okay, you are able to change the price, but nothing else. So you are the one who decides on the pricing, so you can go to the database and change the prices, but nothing else. So these are the things and mechanisms we would like to see. And now comes this big beast, the database management system. That is the component now that takes responsibility for all activities. It actually owns the data, controls all access to data, and when we want to access data, we will never get to access the files directly. We can only ask the database management system for operations. So database management system is a software system that allows us to define data, what is the, what are our tables, to create, meaning adding, for instance, new climbing trips, to change data, or I realized that I had a wrong date on something, and to control who gets access, among many other things. The database management system is running on a database server. So now we have these concepts that we need to be able to distinguish. We have the database, which is the collection of data, data that's stored somewhere. We have the database management system, who makes sure that we can access both the database and the metadata related to it. And we have the server where this DBMS is running that has storage for the files and that has the services we can use. So a server is a server. A DBMS is the application, database application, or sorry, the administrative application that makes us make data available to us. And the database would be the collection of data that we access. It's going to be we're going to be used to it. This is nothing to much understand. This is more to recognize that that's how we define these concepts. So in the database approach, now we have this database system where all the applications are running. So this is in our case, these programs will run on the web server, because that's what we're going to use as our platform. So we have all the applications running on the web server, and the databases are over here, stored over here, and the DBMS is accessing the files to get the data and delivers data to the applications that we're running. So now, rather than having different files, we have tables. We have one property for rent table, we have one private owner table, one client table, one lease table. And what's interesting now is that these tables would contain all data that both needed both by contracts and sales. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the sales department would see details in the contract data set. So we have mechanisms, and Dipti is going to talk about those mechanisms, where we can say some users will only see parts of this, even though it's all in the database. One specific user may not see all of it, may not have access to all of it, because we can say which data each user might be able to see. So rather than each have its own applications that would access the files, now we don't worry about file structure, we don't worry about searching, we don't worry about indexing, we don't worry about all the users having access at the same time. We just say to the database, I need this data. And the database is figuring out in what file, what index structure, can I use it now, or anybody else, somebody else that's using the data right now, so I have to wait a little bit. All of that is dealt by the database management system. And first of all, it says, are you sure that you are the one that should have access to this, because it's going to do the access control. Which means that when we, the first thing we're going to do in the assignment is to create a database, is to make sure that we have a database user that can log in, because if you have no user and no login, the database management system won't serve us at all. Of course, we can create a user with no password, but don't go there. When we have users in the system, we have also passwords. Now, what are the components of a database environment? If you look here, what are the components? Of course, we have the data. So the database is really the about data and metadata. Sometimes you also call that for schema, but Dipti is going to come back to that when we talk about database design. Of course, that's important. We have these database systems because of the data. And we have the metadata, so it's easy to know what's in the database, and it's easy to use it. of course we have hardware and software. So when I say I have a database here, what does that mean? Oh, wow. What does it mean? It means that I have a database. I have hardware, it's my laptop. And on that hardware, I have Windows 10. I have some internet protocol software. And I have my programs. And of course, it's running the database. So MariaDB can run here. So if I... there is the control panel for XAMPP. So here I could start MariaDB, and I could start the web server. No, that's the web server, that's the database. I can start and stop it here. So now database is running. Database management system is running on my computer. And I have several databases that I use, that I will show you, and that I use for demo purposes mostly. But it's all also about people. So what kind of people are involved here? Of course, the end users. We have the programmers. We have the database designers. We have database administrators. So there are many different users, and we're gonna, towards the end of the course, we're going to talk a little bit about operation and management, and then we'll talk a little bit about more about it. But for now, our two main perspectives would be the end user, what the end user wants to use the database system for, and the programmer. How can we make sure that the end user gets to do what he wants to do? So those are the perspectives we're going to have in the beginning of this course, but then we're going to talk more about administrators, and Dipti is going to talk more about the design later on. Yes. Database management systems. As we were saying, these were the. This is the piece of software that is running on my computer to give me access to my database. And when we program database applications, we're going to send request to the database server in the form of programming language instructions. And typically the database provides two different types of languages. It provides the DDL, which is for data definition, and the DML, which is for manipulation. So we had this question about what is metadata, and we say that metadata is data about data. So the DDL, what the DDL does is to change the metadata. So we use the DDL to create a table. We use the DDL to create an index on the table. We use the DDL to add a column to the table. So whatever changes the structure of the database, that's what we do in the DDL. But when we enter data or we delete data, saying the data about one trip, when we enter it, delete it, that's where we use the DML, data manipulation language. So then, what is the system catalog? This is the database where we have all of this. So if I go, just to show you, if I go on my computer, localhost, and I run PHP myadmin. Let me see if I can make this a bit bigger. Is this big enough? Yeah. So this is PHP myadmin. So here, I can go to my server and say, what are my databases? So now here is the database for assignment one. You're going to create one as well for assignment one. And some other example databases I'm using. Now, if you look here, this one here called information schema. If I open this one, this is the system catalog in MariaDB. So what is this? It's a database of the database management system. So here I can say I can find all the columns. So if I click here, I can find all the columns defined in my database. So I can find that in the table schema assignment 1, I have a book with a column ID, I have a table book with column title, so everything in my database. And you can see in my database, this is, it didn't say how many rows were there. So, and so I can, so if I want to find, let's see. The system tables, I can, or the tables, I can find all the tables they have. So you can see the assignment 1 book table, the assignment 5 affiliation table, so you see here, I can basically ask the database, what tables are there? What databases are there? And as I said, depending on who I am, I get to see only part of it. Because the database system, management system, may contain many databases, and I don't have access to all of them necessarily. But it will list everything I have access to. I could see here. So without knowing, so that's why PHP MyAdmin can be developed. PHP MyAdmin, what does it do? It goes to the information schema in MariaDB, and say, okay, what are the databases here? And in these databases, what are the tables? What are the columns? So it's actually using the database own, the database management system's own database for understanding what's in the database. Can you see that? So that's why it's metadata. This database is about the database. It's not about the assignment one data. It's... So DDL would be all the operations that in our case, where user relational database, this would be SQL. So this would be all the SQL operations for modifying the data in the catalog. Dropping a table, adding a new table, changing the definition of a column. And DML would be to add data about events, about books, about trips, whatever you are entering into the database. And the DBMS, it also has other important mechanisms for access, for instance, a security system. Integrity system, what does that mean? We're going to talk a lot about it eventually, and Dipti is going to talk about it when she talks about the relational design. But we, how many of you have clicked on a link on the internet and end up with error 404, page not found? I think all of you have, but we don't want that to happen in the database. So if I, in the database, in one place, refer to something else, let's say I have a database of teams, and I would like to know the coach name. So I link to the coach record in the person table. Now, if the coach asks to be removed from the database, if I remove, I can't still refer to him as being a coach of this team, then I have to do something. Either I say, okay, then the team needs to be deleted as well, or we need to say, okay, the team doesn't have a coach anymore. We don't know anything about the coach. These are the services that the database provides. Make sure that we don't end up with lots of references in the database to something that doesn't exist. Concurrency control system means that we have mechanisms that would help multiple users modify data at the same time. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the semester. So, for instance, both I and my wife have access to my bank account, and if I withdraw money at the same time as she deposits money, we would like this to be the total sum should be the total sum, not that I withdraw money and all of a sudden she puts in money in between and money gets lost or money gets created. And we'll look at that a little later. And then recovery control. What if the system crashes? How do we make sure that we get back to a sound state in the database so that the database doesn't have partly updated data? Then it looks something like this. Not going to spend too much time on it now, but we're going to be revisiting it a bit later. These are all the services. So as a programmer, we make our programs. Our programs will go to the database management system. It will pre-process our query. It will go through the query processor, potentially with an optimizer. And we'll use a dictionary manager to figure out how things are being set up. And then go to the database manager to talk to the file manager that goes to the access method. And there are some system buffers that actually read data from the database or from the file system. So this is pretty complex. And that's the good thing with the database management systems, is that we don't have to worry about it. We say, I want this data. And this DBMS deals with everything else. Make sure that data is delivered quickly and consistently and without being a problem for other users. This is where we want to end. But for now, yeah, so we talked about the integrity services. Yeah, we talked about this, so I don't think we need to repeat on that. So, the question is, should we always use databases? Are there no disadvantages? Are there reasons for not using a database? There may be. At least there are costs. What would be cost? Complexity and size. So if what you want to do is just store a configuration file, simple file, why put the configuration file in a database? You just store it as a file. So it's not always a database management system, and a database is not always the way. You can still store files. There might be cases where we don't need it shared. We don't need multiple access and everything. And of course, the database is going to be large, both in terms of software. It needs memory to run, and it needs, it's a big beast, so it needs disk memory. And it's going to have lots of overhead for the catalog. I mean, the metadata needs to be stored, so it needs room for all that. And there are some costs. We are using MariaDB, which is an open source project, so we don't have to pay for the DBMS itself, but we need to learn it, and learning something complex takes time. Time is money, so it will cost us. By the end of this course, you have invested quite a lot of many hours into learning MariaDB. You had to, otherwise you couldn't use it. And that is a cost. If you work for a company, the company had to pay you to do that. And potentially additional hardware, especially when it gets large. And sometimes you need to convert existing applications, existing data. That could be a cost. Performance. We like to do this to have good performance because the database does have mechanisms for performance. But sometimes it will be much faster just to access the file directly. So if you have a game with some critical operations or a real-time application, real-time visualization, you may not cannot maybe afford the overhead, the time overhead to go through the database system. And if the database falls, then everything else starts falling apart. Because, I mean, if the database isn't working, then we get no responses. Our applications won't work. So it's important that the database is running all the time. Okay, that was a little bit about what databases is, and hopefully you get more of the hands-on when we start programming. We see at least from a programmer's perspective. And then after you've gone through the design with Dipti, you also get to see how we can actually create the various types of databases for various users. And then eventually I'm going to come back a little bit and talk about the more administrative or the operational aspects, how to keep the data after recovery and how to index for performance and things like that. Before we end today, say a little bit about MySQL and PHP MyAdmin, since that's going to be our environment. MySQL was an open source database that it used to be an open source database, and then Oracle bought it. So all of a sudden it's an Oracle product, so MySQL is an Oracle product. But then some guys said, we still should have an open source database using the same technology. So then that was MariaDB. So it's a kind of a sister to MySQL. Is developed by a community. They claim it's fast, reliable, scalable, and easy to use. For our purpose, it's good enough, at least. We won't have any problems in any of these respects. You can have it as a client server or as an embedded system. We're going to use the client server version here, but it's also possible to have it as an embedded system into cars or whatever smaller things you are making. Quite a few users. So if you go to MySQL customers or MariaDB, look at the documentation, you're going to find quite a lot about MariaDB and MySQL. What is PHP MyAdmin? PHP MyAdmin is a web front end for administering MySQL and MariaDB databases. So I was just showing you the system catalog. So here from PHP MyAdmin, I could choose the information schema here. And from the information schema, I could show the catalog or the metadata. But this is also a tool where we can create tables, we can delete tables, we can add rows, we can modify rows, we can import or export the complete database. So this is what we're going to use rather than dealing directly with MySQL through the command interface. We're going to use this interface. You find more information about it in phpmyadmin.net. We're going to talk about the most important functions that we're going to be using during the course as well. On Thursday, we'll talk about web architectures. And in a web architecture, you have the web services, the servers. And the one we're going to be using... I'll come back to it. But the one that going to be most of you going to be using would be the Apache web server, which is also an open community system, and you find it for different operating systems. It runs on Macs, on Windows, on Linuxes. Free open source. Now, I had a question in the break, and I'll give the answer to every one of you. So, because the suggestion is for you to install XAMPP. Now, if you know what you're doing, or if you're having problems getting XAMPP up and running, because XAMPP should install on Linux, on Windows, and Macs, but if you're having problems, then it's not XAMPP, it's not Apache web server, that is our main purpose. As long as you can program in PHP using PDO, and you can access MariaDB, you could use other web services, you could use other frameworks. So if you don't like XAMPP or it used to be WAMP for Windows, MAMP for Macs, and LAMP for Linux, and they combined it to XAMPP for X whatever system. But if you don't like that stack, you could use another stack. As long as we can run PHP, so you can run the PHP scripts and you use PDO, and you can use MariaDB. So if you're happy to set up something else, just do that. We're not going to worry so much about it, but we may not be able to help you much, though, if you have problems with it. So we are not here to learn Apache XAMPP. We are here to see how databases work in the web environment. And the reason why I don't open up for other databases than MariaDB is that then things get very tricky for us to administer. So, I mean, you could use some other database as well. You could use Postgres or some other data, or PostgreSQL, like I said. But unless you have another preference, I recommend you try to go to XAMPP and get everything. Because then you get the database, you get the web server, you get PHP MyAdmin, and hopefully you are up and running pretty quickly. There are obstacles, we know from before. So what I will recommend all of you is to start doing this right away. And if you have problems, let's fix them now. Because if you try to wait till the Thursday before the submission date, we may not be able to give you the help you need. So get it up and running and find quickly. And we're going to be using it already on Thursday. We're going to play with it on Thursday. Hopefully all one of you as well. And then we'll get to see if it works and we get familiar with it. We're also going to use a tool for testing called Codeception. Frode talked a little bit about, for those of you who had object-oriented programming, talked a little bit about testing. So you had to make a test plan, manual testing. But this is the first time I think most of you will be able to see automized testing. So we will be using Codeception to run tests automatically. There will be unit tests for testing the class that you're going to be making for storing data in the database. And an acceptance test will be to test the web interface to see that it works as it should. And I'm quite sure that this is going to be frustration and a headache until you get it working and you get it to understand how it works and why it works. So we're going to spend quite some time going through some examples and trying to understand the whole picture, how this works and what's happening under the hood and behind the scenes. I don't know if you... I think last year students would not agree with this statement. They would not think that testing was fun. But hopefully you get to see it from a different perspective. Hopefully we get to iron out the problems. We get to see the benefits of good testing frameworks. What is interesting, I like the way Codeception, and that's why we chose it. I should say, though, that Codeception came as an idea from one student. So tell us if you think that some of the tools we've been choosing, something have been done, is not perfect. If you think something is better, tell us. Because I was using a different testing framework, and through a colleague, he got a suggestion from a student to go to Codeception instead. And he looked at it, he liked it, I looked at it, I liked it, so I replaced the one I had been using before. So if you have ideas to how to improve, tell us, and then we'll take it into consideration. But what I like is the way they define this. So in PHP, $ means this is a variable. So in our tests, we have a variable called I. And this arrow means that this is a function that we can call on the I object. So I say, I am on page. And when I'm on this page, I see this in the title, and I see this link, and I go and click the link. I mean, it's very easy to read what actually the test is doing. It opens a page, it verifies that it can find that it's an event archive page, it finds a link, and it clicks the link. So that's how you write the test. So it's quite easy to see what the test is actually doing. So Codeception is something we're going to be using. Okay, I think that's as much we can do today. So I think the key messages would be, one, keep an eye on Blackboard. Two, the more you discover, the more you will learn. And databases are pretty large beasts, and we're going to be working with them, trying to understand what they do and what the services they offer us. We focus on the database, and the environment we set up is not important. It's just because we need an environment to get hands-on experience. The first assignment is out. Let's talk about, you're going to start working on it tomorrow. If you show up in the labs, then tomorrow. And if you look at the first assignment, it has two parts. The first part is kind of volunteered. You don't have to submit anything. It just guides you through some tutorials for you to get familiar with all the technologies. And eventually, you have to download a Git repo that I produced that has lots of code. And you're going to replace one class with another class that's actually storing data in the database. But we come back to that a little bit later on. Because this week, I think if you can get up the whole exam up running, be familiar with the web architecture, and next week with PHP and PDO, then I think you are pretty much busy for this and next week. Deadline is Sunday, 8th September. And you should start early. Less stress, and you potentially can get more time with the TAs and better learning. Do collaborate, do share. But when you submit, tell us who you worked with so we know that you have collaborated. Because if you find that two have the same solution and no mentioning of collaboration, we start wondering, did he really do it or just copied someone else's work? It's fine to collaborate, but be honest about it. So this week, tomorrow, lab, and then again on Thursday. On Thursday, the lecture will be from 2 to 4. You should bring your computer and spend that self-study time to go through last year's video and some and the material that I put up on Fronter. Sorry, Blackboard. So Blackboard, you find what I expect you to look at and work on, and then on Thursday we're going to go through the web architecture to try to see if you can understand what it's all about. Okay, thank you.